Vive, the number 2, thrive.net. Times are getting tough for most of us, and being prepared has never been more important. All of our hosts strive to keep you well informed so that you can achieve optimum health in all areas of your life. If you feel that the shows and website are informative, please share this information with your friends and family. If you would like to see certain topics covered, please let us know. Join us on Facebook to help spread the word. You can find the link at the bottom right of the Survive to Thrive homepage. EnterHealth Botanicals is the sole sponsor for this network, providing you not only with important information, but also with highly effective products that produce real results, such as EnterFood, coconut milk powder, liver cleanse, Coco Mojo, Silymarin, NutriCafe, and introducing the new 40-day, 40-night organic preparedness pail. A preparedness supply unlike any other on the market today. Supporting EnterHealth supports both this network and your own health. Without good health, we go nowhere. Go to survivetothrive.net and click on the EnterHealth banner on the top right for automatic discounts, or call them at 866-762-9238. That's 866-762-9238. You can also go to their website at www.enterfood.com. That's E-N-E-R-F like Frank, O-O-D like dog, .com. Enterfood.com. A big thank you to all of our listeners already taking the products that EnterHealth offers. We truly appreciate it. We thank you for your support and encourage you to listen often to stay informed during these crucial times.
Well, hello, 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 my friends. You're listening to the Watchman's Cry program here on the Survive to Thrive Network. My name is Nathan Leal, and today is Tuesday, July 5th, 2011, the year of our Lord. And here we are, folks, the day after the rocket's red glare. Yesterday, the big celebration occurred. Picnics, hot dogs, a paid holiday for the employed ones. And then the big show, repeated thousands of times across the good old United States of America. Proud citizens gathered, and they stood at attention. Some of them said the pledge at the beginning of the fireworks show. Some sang the national anthem, and then they watched the fireworks explode in the air. I myself saw a show last night. I took my family to the park, and I watched, and it was very beautiful. I saw a lot of people enjoying the holiday, and, you know, folks, part of me noticed how surreal that it can be. Because as I was observing the gathering, I can understand that to most people, it appears to be business as usual. It's another birthday for America. It's another fireworks display. Another year of living in Babylon. And as I watched the people last night, I wondered to myself, what are they thinking about? And I also concluded that most of them really had no clue. No clue to the report of America's future. No clue to the data that tells the tale. No clue to the train wreck that is presently approaching this land. And today I'm going to talk about the state of the union of America and of the world. In the first half, we're going to discuss the true state of America. The day after her birthday. And then in the second half, we're going to talk about another topic that I have been holding off on, but I really feel that I have to start addressing it. And that topic happens to do with the comet Elenin. Those of you that have been on the internet and you do your own research, you probably already know about comet Elenin. For those of you that do not know about comet Elenin, I'm going to give a primer on what Elenin might be. And I want to qualify that. What is Elenin? Is it real? Is it a non-event? Is it nothing to worry about? Or is it something that we need to all be concerned about? My friends, I ask you to please share this message with your loved ones, with your friends. Let's get the word out. There's not a lot of programs that are out there that are willing to tell the truth. Now, I know in internet land, the alternative media does exist, but in the real world, when you go to fundamental mainstream evangelical churches, most of those people really have no clue what's going on. So if you can, you can download this, burn it to disk, share it with your loved ones, with your friends, families, share the links because we have to get the word out on what's going on. Now, back to the original topic, America's birthday. 1776, and now it's 2011. So if we do the math, that gives us 235 years that America has existed. So here's the question, my friends. Is she older and wiser now that she's over two centuries old? Is America older and more mature? Is she full of wisdom and good fruits? I know that to the average patriotic, unquestioning American citizen, a lot of times when you ask thought-provoking questions about America, people get offended because the initial response can be, don't be spitting on America, and if you don't like America, just leave. You know, I've heard that before, folks. In fact, I probably have said it before in my earlier years, but as Christians and as lovers of the truth, we have to realize, and most of you do, we realize that we are citizens of another country. Yes, we love America as citizens of America. Those of you that happen to live in America, we love it. We appreciate it. We're proud of it. So let's place that concept in the understood category. It is understood that we love America. However, let us also include in the equation that we can also say that we're frustrated with the direction of America. And that's really how I feel. I'm very, very frustrated with the direction of this nation. It is not going in the direction that it used to. Those of you that are regular listeners, you have heard me lament about America's conditions that seem to be going downhill. So back to the question. 235 years America has existed on this planet. Since America has existed that long, we do admit that she is strong, but is the strength of a nation perpetual? Is it forever? Is the strength of a nation always going to be there? I know a lot of people don't want to think about this, folks, but does the king of a mountain always remain on top of the mountain? Does the king's personality ever start to change as the king gets older? And as we look at this present world today, who's the king of the mountain over this planet? Which nation is it, folks? Now, I would think that some of us and most people would pick their own nation, depending on where they're from, especially if it's a first world country. But let's qualify the question a little bit more. Is the world's king based on economic strength? Is it based on the country that has the most toys? Is it based on military strength, the country with the most weapons? Is it based on moral strength, moral fiber? Is it based on the nation that has the most preachers and the most churches? Is it based on the ability to intimidate the rest of the world because it is fierce? Is it based on the ability to make threats to other nations of the world? Is the king of the mountain the king because the rest of the world willingly agreed to it and they proclaimed it? Is it based on the education levels of a nation, the healthcare costs of a nation, the mortality rate? What makes a country great, folks? These are a lot of questions. Is it based on the amount of freedom that that nation has and exhibits? Is it based on the government's respect to the privacy of its citizens? These are a lot of questions. And several decades ago, most of the world most likely said that it was the United States. In 1995, there were probably countries of the world that still said it was the USA. After the turn of the new millennium, 2005, there were probably other countries that might have said it was the USA. But as each decade went by, folks, I have to say that I have seen the opinions of the rest of the world over the years, and the votes have been declining for America. Now here we are in the year 2011, and it cannot be argued that there is a global transition occurring. It's happening right now before our very eyes. America's economic strength is now mired in a depression, my friends. The toys of Americans are breaking. The toys of Americans are becoming unaffordable. The United States is now mired in debt. Government debt, federal debt, state debt, city debt, county debt, and consumer debt. Why did this happen? Why are we here? Why are we in this predicament? There are many, many reasons that America is in a depression right now. And a politician can make all of the speeches that they want and make promises that if you vote for me, I will give you jobs. I will bring jobs back. But folks, The reality is the jobs are gone. The factories are gone. The New World Order is now here, alive and well, present upon this planet. And the widget contract now goes to the lowest bidder. The lowest bidder happens to now be in Asia, paying workers slave wages. And the majority of U.S. companies decided that they like that arrangement. Why pay an American worker $20 an hour when I can get my widget from a barefoot Malaysian worker for 25 cents an hour? The New World Order global economy lobbied for open trade borders, and folks, they got their wish. So who do we blame for this? Is it the Democrats' fault? Is it the Republicans' fault? Is it the liberals, the conservatives? Who do we blame, folks? Well, if we're honest with ourselves, no matter what party you happen to be, folks, they're all guilty. All of the politicians are on record voting for globalism, for open borders, reduced trade barriers. Mr. Bush is on record doing that. Clinton did it. Daddy Bush did it. Obama's done it. They're all guilty, folks. So we cannot just point fingers back and forth across the aisles. And that is why I agree with what Gerald Celente says. He is a political atheist, and I believe the same thing because the politicians have proven themselves to be undependable. So they were lobbied. Keep the borders open. Globalism is coming, and we'll line your pockets and make the rest of your life comfortable for you and your family. So the politicians receive their trinkets to go along with this legislation. And here's the conclusion. The greatest transfer of wealth is now underway. And today, during another birthday for America, the report is in, my friends. The king of the mountain has been given the pink slip by the world. It's a sad report, and I say it with regret, but the world has spoken. America, you are fired. Please clean out your desk. Pick up your final check, and by the way, have a nice day. It's a transition, my friends, and I don't like it. I'm pretty sure that you don't like it. I'm pretty sure that the American listening audience does not like it. But as Americans, this is our unfortunate reality, a reality that is beyond denial. And on this program, we're going to discuss the State of the Union. It's true that Babylon America has been the king of, or actually the queen of the mountain, but her place is now teetering. And it's been underway for a number of years. And eventually, America's going to slip off. The queen will fall, and she'll slip off of her position in the world. And she's going to go down a notch or two, perhaps more. And as America finds herself in decline, U.S. citizens are going to find themselves recalibrating their lifestyle in several categories. The lifestyle changes will be economic, they're going to be social, and even fundamental. And many of the basic things that have been taken for granted are going to be affected, my friends. And these changes are not going to be easy, but they will be certain. When is all this going to happen? When will it occur? My friends, it's already underway. Many of you already know this. Many of you are already experiencing this. And you can see these things as you travel around your town. And you see that many of the businesses that once existed are now gone. The buildings are boarded up. They're abandoned. They're empty. It's underway, folks. Thus far, this transition has been in slow motion. Some people can observe it more than others. But many of these programs that we've had, when we gather together, we've discussed how frustrating it is that many people that you care about are refusing to read the writing on the wall. And to those that can read, I have sound advice. Buckle your seatbelt, my friends. The ride's about to get very, very rough. So what is the state of the union? America's health is in decline. America's morality is in decline. And because of this, her decline is assured. Spiritual laws are in play, folks, because God states in His word, He will not be mocked. Man reaps what he sows. And when man chooses darkness, man will reap the whirlwind. Just a few days ago, New York was the latest state to join the fray of legislative mandates legalizing same-sex marriage. Governor Cuomo celebrated. They danced in the streets. The Empire State Building had the illumination to the world, rainbow lights, an open display of rejection to God's statutes. And together the people spoke. Many spoke out in an open taunt to the heavens. A taunt that said, we're going to do what we want to do. We're going to do what we will. So here's the question, my friends. Is there still hope for America, even after all this? In theory, there's always hope. But America is refusing to grab onto the dangling lifeline of hope that's being provided by God right now. God's lifeline has conditions. And America is saying, the citizens are saying, the people are declaring, we do not like the terms. And thus, America's hope is evaporating, my friends. And this is just one more reason why I have full assurance that any chance to save America has been willingly trampled by the defiant hearts of her citizens. Folks, in the coming darkness that's been announced already by several voices, I've talked about it. I've mentioned the prophetic dream of darkness coming upon the land, and some of you have also had prophetic dreams and visions of similar things. I've received emails from some of you saying that you had dreams of darkness, dark clouds, dark storms coming over the land. What does it mean? It means that darkness is going to envelop this land. It's coming, folks. What does the darkness entail? It entails a great evil that is also approaching. Folks, it's approaching, but it's actually already arriving. It's a caravan of evil, and it's arriving with a frenzy. It's taking over the hearts of men and of women, of young people. Now we're witnessing an outbreak, plague of dark pestilence. It's enveloping young people. Folks, just over the last several weeks, those of you that read the regular headlines, how many of you have noticed the repeated stories of flash mobs of young people, of teenagers that will gather together in large groups, 50 people, 75 people, 100 people, and they would just bombard businesses and establishments and rob openly, openly defiant, without a care in the world. Over the holiday weekend, Chicago, 5 people were murdered. Over the holiday weekend, 23 were hurt. Gunfire, violent attacks across the city of Chicago. In Boston, over the weekend, 4 people were murdered. Looked to be gang-related violence in Boston. So in Boston, there's a spirit of murder. In Chicago, there's a spirit of murder. In Milwaukee, I have another report here. Another flash mob gathered together and went into a store, took over the place, stole what they wanted, and then they went to a local park and started robbing the citizens in the open. That was in Milwaukee. Atlantic City, New Jersey over the weekend. A brawl. 100 people gathered together. Mobs assembling. Gunfire. People were wounded outside the casinos in Atlantic City. I have another report here. A lady's leg was broken. Several other people were injured Saturday night when a large group of teens accosted pedestrians in the area of Philadelphia. Flash mob. What is going on? The young generation has been indoctrinated and programmed by the public school system that there is no God. That's what's going on, my friends. When you take God out of the equation, people are going to act like animals and like barbarians, like pagans, like heathens, to have no shame, to reward every perverted sexual desire, programmed to be whores, harlots, philanderers, homosexuals, and lesbians, programmed to deny that there's no longer an absolute standard of holy truth. And now they're told that there's no truth that comes from a God or a creator. How absurd is that, folks? Nevertheless, that's what the training is for Generation Y. Actually, I lost count. What generation are we on? Whichever one it is, it's the generation that now has no conscience. Result, thou shalt not is now according to the circumstances. So if people are hungry, they now believe that they have a right to steal from you because now there's no barometer of truth. It's a new trend of evil, my friends. These flash mobs of young people, herds of thieves, 50 to 100 strong, are stampeding and looting. They're looting grocery stores, convenience stores, department stores, random citizens on the street with no fear, no shame, and they arrive like locusts, and they take, and then they leave. They appear like rats, like roaches. No empathy, no compassion, just evil. attacking innocent bystanders. Folks, this is occurring across America, and it's only the beginning. If this is happening right now while the facade of the economy claims that it's not so bad, we're in recovery, what is it going to be like, my friends, when the next shoe drops? How are the people going to act when the food stamps get canceled, when unemployment benefits get canceled, when entitlements get canceled? My friends, during a season of evil judgment, the people run amok and two camps form because people start to choose their remedies. And most of the time, they choose their remedy of the flesh. We saw this during Katrina. So a lot of people are going to be choosing the flesh. They're going to be choosing evil. And that's what the prophetic warnings have been stating. Great evil's coming upon the land, my friends. But also at the same time, as this tide of evil cascades over the land, there will be remnant believers, remnant citizens, remnant people in repentance. It says in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 9, when the judgments of God are in the earth, then the inhabitants of the earth learn righteousness. There's going to be some people learning righteousness. There's going to be some people turning to God. The judgment of God has a purpose. It separates the wheat from the chaff. It purifies the hopeful ones. It exposes the evil ones. But one thing that cannot be ignored, evil is going to increase, my friends. In many cities, in many neighborhoods, there's going to be an increase of random violence. What are you going to do? How are you going to be protected? In Psalms 91, it says, "He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under God's shadow." And folks, it's probably been a while since I talked about this, but you know, there's an opposite verse that tells us the alternative to Psalms 91. Psalms 91 says, "He that dwells in the secret place will be protected." But in Hosea 4:3, that's the passage of scripture that talks about the dead animals, the fish of the sea, the beast of the field, the birds of the air, they'll die, be carried away. But in Hosea 4:3, it says, "Therefore the land will mourn, and everyone that dwells in the land will languish." What does that mean? That means that there's a choice to dwell in the secret place of Psalms 91 or to dwell in the world, in the land. And those that choose to dwell in the world and in the land and not under the shelter of God are going to languish. It's a choice, my friends. The choice of where we're supposed to dwell. So, have you thought about it, my friends? Are you trying to align yourself with God? Are you trying to find solitude with God? Are you trying to clean up your house, the closets, the secret places? Are you choosing to dwell with Him? Or is it business as usual? Are you still dwelling in the world? My friends, as the dark season arrives, to the wise one, there cannot be a choice on where to dwell. There is no choice on what we're supposed to do. It's not easy though, my friends. It takes courage. Christianity is not for cowards. It's for the bold ones that trust Him. Well, it's time for the break. In the second half, we're going to talk about Comet Elenin. My friends, don't go away. We'll be right back.
We're going back to the Health Ranger, and one of my sales guys pointed this out. They go, you know, the Health Ranger really loves Interfood, and it won their best superfood 2009. And so, you know, asking what he thinks about it, but I'm putting him on the spot here. But I remember about 5 years ago, I got some of this sent to me, and I was so busy, I didn't even call them back because they wanted to be sponsors. But years later, we came back. My wife loves it. It's two little scoops in the morning in water or juice. You drink it, and it's 20 superfoods at once, and that way you absorb almost all of it. Even with the best vitamins and minerals, a lot of it gets passed through you, and you've got a lot of specials there on the site for Alex Jones listeners. Interfood.com or 866-762-9238, 866-762-9238, interfood.com. Give us your brief take on Interfood.
I did give it an award, an Editor's Choice Award. It's the real thing. Not only is the product really great, but the company's great. The people there are great. They get it. You know, they understand nutrition. They understand what's happening with the world, and they want you to be nutritionally prepared. I mean, that's the bottom line with this product. It's I use it.
Well, I know my wife gets upset when she runs out.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really that good.
Yeah, she's a lot more health conscious than I am. I mean, I try to be. I mean, compared to the average American, I guess I'm okay, but I do have a lot of bad habits. But I noticed that when I first started taking it, I mean, it was almost like a drug or something. I mean, there's no speed, no caffeine in it, but it's almost like jolting to have real nutrients.
It makes you alert without any kind of caffeine type of buzz. No stimulants whatsoever. It just basically clears out your system. And it makes your brain and body function better. You know, I mean, superfoods are really powerful for doing that. And with Enerfood, he's combined a lot of the best ones in the world. I don't give out a lot of awards. You probably know that.
And the key is they don't pasteurize it either, so it doesn't lose the...
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So you've got the nutrients that are destroyed by heat. In Enerfood, they're not destroyed. They're intact. And that makes all the difference.
Absolutely. Okay.
Welcome back, folks. Nathan Liao here. The website is watchmanscry.com. Before the break, we were talking about the real state of the union of America. My friends, it cannot be argued that America is no longer the land that many can boast about. We're in decline, my friends. There's transition happening. The wise ones are going to realize this. They're going to have their eyes open that things are different and try to do everything they can to situate themselves, to prepare for what's coming. Folks, this journey has been going on now for about 3 years, give or take. According to the numbers, they say the recession started at the last quarter of 07, but then in the spring and summer of 08, it really got going. And then the crash happened in the fall of 08. And ever since then, we have just seen the gradual decline of this nation. The numbers and the reports continue to proclaim and to show that beyond a doubt, all of the acts of man that have been tried by this administration and the previous administrations are failing. And it's not just America that is in trouble. The big stimulus package, the bailout did nothing to stop the demise. All it did was place a Band-Aid on the demise. And now the situation's even worse because now there's more debt. The jobs numbers have not changed. There's more unemployed people. The benefits are running out. I saw another report just yesterday on Fox News. Charles Krauthammer said some amazing things, stated that most middle-aged Americans will probably never, ever find employment again. Listen to this, folks.
The problem is, at the consumer level, confidence is low, and that's because we have, as you showed, underemployment of one out of every six Americans, and that's historically high. And the worst element of that is that among the unemployed, against American history, approaching half have been unemployed for over 6 months, and that is historically unprecedented in the United States. It's a phenomenon that is seen often in Europe, rarely seen here. In 2007, the average time to get a new job is about 5 weeks. It's now near 6 months, and that implies there could be a whole segment of the population, the more elderly or middle-aged, who may never get employed again.
Those are strong statements. We are seeing this thing lived out day to day, from coast to coast across this nation. But aside from America, the European Union, the Eurozone, is also teetering on a great catastrophe. Greece is teetering over the cliff. Portugal has now been reduced to junk status. And one by one, we are also going to see in Europe nations fall and crumble. Who's going to fall first? Will it be America that will default first, or will it be nations in Europe? I don't know. But one thing is certain, my friends. This entire planet is being shaken right now. There are estimates by those that look at the spreadsheets and the numbers that it's going to be this fall when the next leg goes down. If that's true, that means that, okay, we're in the beginning of July, so we have July, August, September. The reports that I'm reading are saying September or October. It's not prophetic, my friends, but these are some of the reports that are being talked about in the alternative media. 2 to 3 months. And according to some of the reports I'm hearing, it's not just going to be a drop in maybe some single digits of the stock market. I'm hearing that we are facing a global catastrophe of epic proportions, which include a failure of the euro. The euro is going to crash, and the United States dollar is going to be toast. I'm also hearing other reports that the dollar will be reduced from 30 to 50% in value. And if that happens, that means that things will increase in price 30 to 50% by this fall. Products are going to increase in price. More unemployment's going to happen. And also the other reports are saying that the austerity measures that Europe is trying to enact, and austerity means cost-cutting measures. It means budget cuts. It means entitlements get reduced to the citizens. The citizens in Greece are rioting in the streets. The citizens in other European countries are also rioting in the streets because they do not like the cost-cutting measures. They don't like being told your benefits are going to go away. Those of you that were counting on retirement, pension, sorry, you're going to have to wait another 5 years. Things are very, very shaky right now, my friends. And based on many, many, many prophetic warnings, those things are coming to America. The warnings have been spoken. It's going to happen, folks. How bad will it be? It's going to be a hard ride. It's going to be a test to every American, every European, every Australian. It's going to be a test because it's going to change life as we know it. Now, that's economic. That's the economic challenges that we face. If we were to put aside earth changes and storms and fires and famine and all those other things, if we were to lay those aside, it's bad enough with economic calamity and catastrophe that is approaching, with the next leg of a greater depression. That's bad enough, my friends. But in addition to that, we're also going to see other factors that are going to be added to the equation that's going to make it very, very challenging. Brother David Wilkerson had given a prophecy, and he said an event is going to be coming. And he said even the strongest Christians among us are going to find themselves shaken and challenged. It's going to be hard. What is that event? We're still waiting for it to happen, but it's approaching, my friends. But let's talk about earth changes now. Let's talk about, I mentioned it in the first half, Comet Elenin. Now, I want to discuss this, but as I start discussing it, I want to qualify this topic by saying up front that this is not prophetic. This is not me prophesying, but I still feel the need to talk about it, my friends. I'm not sure about what this is. It's a mystery at this moment, and because of the reports that are already on record with Comet Elenin, there are very strong reasons why we should at least be concerned about it. Now, it is true that it might not be a major event. It might turn out to be a non-event. But if it is valid, its effects to this planet are going to be historical and gargantuan. Now, most likely, some of you have an opinion about it. Some of you may say, well, I've heard some of the information and reports on it. And, you know, Nathan, there's really nothing to be worried about with Elenin, because I heard from a person with credentials that there's nothing there. And then there's probably some of you that have been hearing some concerning reports. And I'm not just going to talk about hearsay, my friends. I'm going to share some data. The data is now starting to arrive. And the data is pointing to something strange going on with this comet. And there is circumstantial evidence that we should at least visit the possibility that Elenin could really turn out to be a major, major event. Now, the case is building that if this thing is true, the Earth is going to be impacted this fall, and that's just a few more months away, folks, in very pronounced ways. Now, how bad will the Earth be affected? Let me just give a quick summary of how bad it could be. At this place in time, Elenin is not forecasted to hit the planet. It's not going to hit us. So we're not discussing that one right now, because based on the calculations, it's just going to fly by the Earth. But if Elenin has the mass and the structure and the size that some people are suspecting, it's going to impact us very, very strongly. Now, some of the damage that it's going to be causing, if it's what people suspect it is, will be massive, massive earthquakes. We're not talking 7 points or 8 points. We're talking earthquakes as big, if not larger, than the one that happened in Japan. Huge earthquakes. Catastrophic earthquakes, which are also going to give birth to tsunamis. very, very violent and destructive tsunamis all around the world. The Pacific Rim could go crazy with earthquakes. And if that does happen, we're also looking at the possibility of the big one happening in some of the coastal cities of California. Or there's a possibility that the New Madrid could go, or that Yellowstone could erupt. And we could also see a pole shift, both magnetic and or physical. The earth could wobble. After the Chilean earthquake, and then after the Japanese earthquake that occurred on March the 11th, the earth actually wobbled just a little bit after those two earthquakes. That was with Elenin being pretty far out in space. And I'm going to talk about why and how Elenin is going to affect us and what it's going to cause. But in addition to that, we could also witness satellite disruption, communication failure of phone lines, of cell phones. And there's also a possibility that the grid could go down, my friends, in various areas or in many areas. There's a lot of possibilities if this thing is valid and if it is true, folks. And that's why I want to talk about it. We will also see some pronounced epic weather changes. And while all those changes are happening, while all those events are happening, while all the headlines are being written, it's going to affect lives. It's going to affect people. It's going to cause mass hysteria. And unfortunately, my friends, it could cause a body count, mass death. Now, those of you that have researched Elenin, you've probably heard that there are some individuals that really, really believe that this thing could be on the scale of an ELE, an extinction level event. And I'm not going to say that it's to that scale, because the Bible tells us that there are going to be different chapters of events happen during the Great Tribulation. Different calamities will hit the earth, different judgments, different parts of what God is doing as he breaks the seals open and blows trumpets. There's going to be events happening on earth. As I look at the book of Revelation and I compare to the predictions that Elenin this fall is going to do an extinction level event, that part is hard to line up with scripture, because if that was true, if the earth is about to lose most of its population, that would mean that we're already in the Great Tribulation. And you know, folks, I have not seen the beast rise up and behead Christians at the moment, so I don't think we're that far into the tribulation period where some of the final chapters and events are about to occur in the next 2 or 3 months. So because of what we know in the scriptures, it cannot be an extinction level event. However, it can be a judgment event that shakes portions of the earth in very pronounced ways. So is it going to happen? Will it happen? Folks, again, I do not know, but something is going on out there. By the way, I do welcome your opinions and your thoughts. So if you want to email me and share, I appreciate that. I know that some people don't think so, but let me start off by just giving a brief background on Elenin. Elenin was discovered on December the 10th of last year, 2010, by a Russian astronomer whose name is reported to be Leonid Elenin. And Elenin is spelled E-L-E-N-I-N. When he discovered Elenin, he made the announcement and it was named C-2010X1 because it was discovered in 2010. And it was also given the name Elenin. It was discovered from an observatory in New Mexico. Now, this Elenin story is full of many riddles. There are many discriminating people who find the name Leonid Elenin very suspicious and that wonder if this individual actually exists. Now, if he does exist, his first name and his last name are very striking when it comes to astronomy and when it comes to words that have to do with meteors and asteroids and comets. For example, when we look at the discoverer's name, Leonid Elenin, the name Leonid is interesting because the word Leonid actually comes from the prolific meteor shower that occurs annually in the month of November. And the Leonids get their name from meteors that appear to radiate in the sky, and they come from the constellation Leo, and the Earth moves through this meteor stream, which scientists say are the dust particles or remnants of an old comet that has died in the past. And every year, the Earth goes through its stream. Those of you that are familiar with this, you know that every November, we can go outside when it's pretty late and see all of the Leonid meteors that are approaching. So that's one of the weird facts about this comet and the person that discovered this comet. Another weird fact is that the word Elenin has some syllables that can be broken down, And it seems that there's a big debate going on in Cyberland about the word Elenin. Is the word Elenin an enigma? Is it a secret code? Is it a hint or a clue? Is there a hidden message in the word Elenin? Because when you break Elenin down, the first three letters, E-L-E, are known as meaning an extinction level event. And how many of you can remember the Hollywood film Deep Impact? I believe it came out in the 90s. And in that Hollywood movie, the storyline was about the threat of an asteroid that was going to impact the Earth. And the heroes of the story had to get in a spaceship and place a nuclear bomb on the asteroid to explode it so that it would not hit the Earth. And in that movie, the asteroid was nicknamed Ellie, or E-L-E. So now we have this comet with a similar name. Ellie is in its name, E-L-E. That's very interesting. And the last part of the name, the third syllable, is N-I-N, or Nin. A lot of people are trying to decode the word Elenin, and they wonder if the word Nin has a hidden meaning. Well, when you think of the word Nin, N-I-N, one of the decoded possibilities that some people are wondering about is, when we examine what it can mean, the word Nin represents a lady goddess. And there's a story, the Epic of Gilgamesh, which is a story about the destruction of the earth. Gilgamesh is the central character in the Epic of Gilgamesh. And here's what's interesting. This story is about a great deluge that happened to the earth, about a flood, which is a pagan account of Noah's flood, but it's been changed to give credit to the gods and goddesses, and it's mythology, but Gilgamesh's mother, her name is Nin, and she's a goddess. So the word Elenin, is that a secret message? Is that a secret code? Is this comet expected to cause great destruction to planet Earth? And is that why the name is called Elenin? Now, in order for this to be so, that would mean that the person that supposedly discovered the comet is a fraud, and he's not real. That takes us down another very interesting road and path, because I have not been able to prove or disprove if Leonid Elenin actually exists. He might exist, and I've tried to research it, and I've seen some websites that do say that he's a real person and he does exist. Now, if he does exist and that's his name, that also keeps the story interesting, because what are the odds of Elenin's name having a story behind it that has to do with meteors and comets and a comet flyby that is a threat to the planet? It's very interesting when we look at the entire package. And this is why the story of Elenin has become a fascination with many, many people in Cyberland and in Cyberworld. But my friends, there's a good possibility that it is more than just a temporary fascination. There could be a lot to the story, and that's why we're visiting it, and that's why we're talking about it right now.
In addition to E-L-E, Nin, Elenin, an extinction level event, another deciphering of this name. Now, this one is actually very interesting. E-L-E, Nin, if you look at the word, it sounds like 9-11 backwards, because 11, the first three letters of 11, and then Nin are in the word. Now, the interesting thing about that is, as this comet approaches the sun and it goes around the sun, it's going to meet the closest point between itself and the sun on September 11th of this year. What are the odds of that? Also, there are some other anomalies that there's just a lot of patterns that are in this whole thing. For example, and let me backtrack a little bit. There's been some individuals who have gone to JPL's website, and that's the Jet Propulsion Lab's website provided by NASA, where you can type in different comets and you can animate the orbit of the comet, and you can look into the future of where the comet's going to be on any given date. Well, you can go there and type in Elenin and actually see when it's going to come near the Earth and around the sun. Now, over the last few months, and even going backwards over the last several years, there's been several times where Elenin lined up with the sun and the Earth as it has been approaching over the last several years. And it seems that every time there was a lineup, an earthquake occurred on the Earth. Not just several earthquakes, but many, many earthquakes. Now, there is a scientist that published a report from Cornell University. And this is a real scientist with a resume. He's not just some fly-by-night person. He published this report, and it can be found at Cornell's website. The name of his report is, I got it right here, it's called Astronomical Alignments as the Cause of M 6 plus seismicity. The name of this scientist is Menshur Omenbashik, and that's spelled M-E-N-S-U-R. His last name is O-M-E-R-B-A-S-H-I-C-H. He has a long name, but he published a finding, and he went back. I have his report right here. He actually went back to 2008, and he cites, I have here probably more than 20 or 30 earthquakes that he went back, and whenever Elenin and the Earth and the Sun, or Elenin and the Earth and other planets, were lined up, an earthquake happened on the Earth. And it goes back to, for example, in February the 20th of 08, Elenin, the Earth, and the Sun were lined up, and there was a 7.4 in Indonesia. 5 days later, the same thing. There was a 7.2. On May the 12th, there was another lineup. China had an earthquake. And it goes on and on. February 18th, there was one in the Kermitic Islands. On May the 18th, LA had one. July 15th, New Zealand had one. And I don't want to read every single earthquake because there are many here. In his studies, he also says that in addition to Elenin, whenever the Earth lines up with other planets like Jupiter or Mars or Mercury and the Sun, and there's a lineup, the magnetic pull on the Earth has caused earthquakes. And he has actually cited in his study, his abstract, probably 40 or 50 earthquakes that have happened in different lineups. So this is a scientist that he's saying, based on this information, we can look forward to the lineups that are going to happen when Elenin gets even closer to us. And here's where the concern comes in. This coming fall, and there's probably about 5 to 10 different dates where Elenin is going to be either lined up with the Earth or with other planets. And also it's going to fly by the Earth. And there's some concerns. This scientist, Omar, he believes that as Elenin gets closer to us based on the findings and the reports and the data already, as it gets even closer, there's an expectation that we're going to see massive, massive earthquakes. Now, another interesting date. On September the 28th, the Earth is going to be in Elenin's tail as it flies by the Earth. September 28th happens to also be Rosh Hashanah. So we're going to be in Elenin's tail on the Jewish holiday of judgment. And Elenin is going to reach the Earth. It's going to be the closest to the Earth over a 2 to a 3 day period on October the 15th through the 18th. It's going to just be only 1/4 of an AU away. An AU is the distance of the Earth to the Sun, which is 93 million miles. So Elenin is only going to be about 20 million miles, give or take. Now, when Elenin was many, many millions of miles, hundreds of millions of miles away, and it lined up with the Earth, we had the Chilean earthquake, the New Zealand earthquake, the Japanese earthquake, but now it's going to be just 20 million miles away this coming fall. So, folks, there's a lot of information and a lot of curious concern over what the true factors are in play right here. NASA, up to this point, is denying that there's a concern, but there are other people who, like I said, the professor, his abstract, his published paper, he believes that this coming fall, we're going to see some massive earthquakes from Elenin. So what does that mean? That means that in addition to the economic collapse that the numbers are pointing to this fall, we are also looking at a possibility of massive, massive earth changes to hit the Earth. How bad will it be? I don't know, folks, but let me read some of the other dates where the Earth is going to be lined up. If you have a pen and paper, folks, let me just share these again. On September 11th, Elenin is going to be the closest to the Sun. And there's a fancy astronomical term for that. They call it perigee. Elenin is going to be reaching perigee on 9/11. In addition to that, on September the 27th, there's going to be another lineup with Elenin. And the lineup is going to include Mercury, the Sun, Elenin, and the Earth. So there's going to be four bodies right there that are going to be lined up. Also on September the 28th, the Earth is going to be entering Elenin's tail, which is also the same date as Rosh Hashanah. And then we have between October 15th and 18th, Elenin will be just a quarter of the distance to the Sun from the Earth. And that's only about 20 million miles. It's about 0.232 AUs. And then on November the 11th, there's going to be another lineup. Venus, Earth, Elenin, and Mercury will be lined up. Now that's on November the 11th. And then just 11 days later, on November the 22nd, the Sun, the Earth, and Elenin will again be lined up. So it looks like there's going to be several very pivotal dates where there's going to be a potential of earthquakes based on the data that we have already seen from Elinan's record. And then when we move forward into 2012, here's another interesting date, folks. On December the 26th, 2012, Elinan, the Earth, and the Sun are also going to be lined up. Now, the trajectory, the orbit of Elinan, I believe that NASA is making adjustments, and if NASA makes some changes to the orbit of Elinan, those dates could actually change. So, my friends, there's a lot of information here to be considering. Now, I also want to talk about what is Elinan? Is Elinan really just a comet? Is it just an ice ball? Well, if Elinan is just an ice ball, like NASA claims, would she really be causing all these problems? When you look at a comet going around the sun, and we have data from the SOHO telescope, and the SOHO telescope is the telescope that NASA has pointed to the sun where we can observe solar flares and CMEs and other comets and asteroids going around the sun. Well, we have it on video record now. It's already established that when comets in the past have gone around the sun has actually thrown out solar flares toward the comets as they went around the sun, which tells us several things. The comet has a magnetic attraction, and it also tells us that our solar system is more electrified than we've been told in the past. Right now, we are experiencing some strange anomalies. Some other individuals are theorizing that it's not only a comet that is coming into our solar system or that is approaching nearby. There are also other theories that Elinan is part of a larger package of planetary travelers. Elinan is a satellite that happens to be traveling next to a very, very large cosmological body to the size of either a brown dwarf or a binary star or even the mythical Nibiru or Planet X. Now, Planet X has been the suspicious planet, failed star. It's gone by a variety of names and a variety of theories, but there is something affecting our solar system, and our solar system is experiencing a lot of anomalies. Earlier this year, my friends, the sun appeared 2 days early in Greenland, and that event created quite a number of questions. Why? Did the Earth's orbit change? Did something change in the heavens? Did the rotation of the Earth change? Did the axis of the Earth change? Has the tilt of the Earth been affected? Some of you have reported to me that as gardeners, those of you that plant gardens and that do farming, that pay attention to the sun and the shadow of the sun and where the sun is located during the summer months, some of you have reported to me and sent me emails and communicated that the sun does not appear to be in the right place in the summer sky. Now, I have also read other reports that say that's absurd. There's no way that could be happening because there would be an outcry by weathermen and astronomers. That one in itself is a very strange thing. But let's move on to what is Elinan. Now, I mentioned that it could be traveling with a even larger space body. Some people are theorizing that it's traveling with a brown dwarf or a low mass star or another planetary body that's even larger than Jupiter. And this body is getting closer and closer to our solar system. And as it gets closer, it's starting to affect the gravitational forces on other planets. Is Elinan a part of Planet X? Is Elinan a part of Nibiru? I don't know, folks. I know that some of you have been fascinated with the topic of Planet X and Nibiru and have wondered if such a thing exists, if it could exist. Also, there are some other reports coming in that NASA knows full well that Nibiru is out there, that Planet X is out there, the brown dwarf, whatever you want to call it, that it is out there and it is affecting our solar system, not just the Earth. Now, according to some of the progressive thinkers here in America, global warming has been blamed on the mass emissions of internal combustion engines. It's being blamed on the inventions of man. But when we zoom out away from the Earth and we start looking at the Earth and other planets, there are other planets that are actually warming up. There are other planets that are being affected by something that is out there. So global warming is really solar system warming when we zoom out and if we really look at the big picture. So what is going to happen is anyone's guess. I know that this is not a comfortable topic to visit, but the target dates for Elenin to be affecting planet Earth, if Elenin is valid as a threat, are pretty near to us. They're pretty close. It's just going to be a few more months, so the truth of what Elenin is will be known by all of us. Again, my friends, I do not want Elenin to be a major event. I do not want Elenin to cause those things that I mentioned. But if Elenin, well, let's just say it this way. If Elenin is a non-event, then there's nothing to worry about. And by the end of this year, we'll look back and say, okay, it was a false alarm. That was interesting. That was a little bit of doom drama that people were playing with, but it was nothing. However, if Elenin is a valid concern, if Elenin is going to have a gravitational pull that's going to do massive damage to the planet, what are we supposed to do about it? How can we prepare for it? Is there anything that you can do? Well, I would say that as we watch the timeline on Elenin getting closer and closer, most likely by August, we're going to start seeing some planetary changes. And if the reports do start coming in that more earthquakes start happening in August, or if we start noticing some satellites having some problems, or some electrical grids having problems, and if the mainstream news continues to ignore it, I think that this is a story that we need to stay on top of. I'm going to be staying on top of it, and I will bring reports. I will bring warnings. If some of you have any inside information, I would really, really appreciate you sharing it, and I'll share it with the world, because we have to get the warning out. But this is what I was going to say, folks. If it does turn out that we are starting to observe some very, very valid changes this coming August, then what that might point to is that Elenin is going to be pulling on our continents. It's going to be yanking on the tectonic plates of the planets. As it gets closer and closer to the Earth in September, then we're going to see those bad earthquakes, those massive earthquakes. So I'm going to be sharing the warning. And if we start seeing in August those things, this is what I would say, my friends. Those of you that live in the coastal areas, I would say to take it to God, make it a matter of prayer to God, and you ask Him, if you live at sea level, if you live along the coastlands of the United States, I would make it a matter of prayer to have a backup plan just in case. Let's just put it that way, my friends. A plan where you could leave the coastlands in a quick manner and go inland or go to high ground. I would also have another plan. And also consider this, folks. If you happen to live next to rivers that are associated with reservoirs and dams, and especially if you are downriver of a dam, or if you're near a flood area, I would also have a backup plan as well. If the grid were to go down, because another concern is that as Elenin gets nearer to the sun could have some solar flares, some CMEs, coronal mass ejections, blasted from the surface of the sun toward the Earth. And if that were to occur, then we could see portions of the grid go down. Now, when Fukushima had its earthquake and the power was off, it was because of the pumps having no power that the meltdown occurred. So if the grid were to go down, what's going to happen to nuclear reactors across the world? If you happen to live in an area near a nuclear reactor, and the grid were to go down, and they could not cool the reactors, and there was a meltdown, that's something else to think about, folks. We could see Fukushima occurring at many, many nuclear reactors across the country. Also, if you live in large populated areas, if the grid went down, it's going to affect the distribution of food. If communications went down, we could expect to see massive food riots, massive hysteria. We could expect to see societal breakdown where the marauding gangs of zombies started going to and fro, seeking food, seeking possessions, seeking places to loot, believing that it's open season on doing whatever evil they wanted to do. We could see Katrina repeated over and over. So that's another thing to think about. Large population centers are going to be unpleasant during an event like this. So my friends, a lot of things to think about. A lot of preparation to do, a lot of praying to do, I know that there are some that say, I'm not going to worry about it. I'm just going to have faith in God. And if perchance you do not have the economic means to prepare or to have a backup plan, I would encourage you to ask God to help you to become aligned with other individuals that are like-minded so that you can have fellowship and where you could contribute some of the skills that you have. You might not have the money and a lot of supplies, but if you bring skills to the table, then that's also something of value. And the reason I bring this up is because I've been contacted by individuals that say, you know, Nathan, I know that you say get food and get prepared, have a backup plan, have a bug out bed, have the MREs, et cetera, et cetera. But I do not have the money to do any of that. I'm on a fixed income. My friends, I know that there are some listeners with that situation. And if that happens to be you, God can still be your ally. If you're hidden in Him, God will bring about the remedies if you make it a matter of prayer to Him. Pray that you will come across some other individuals. God can do it, folks. He can bring an answer to prayer in other individuals. Well, folks, it looks like I'm running out of time. A lot of information here to digest. Again, if you do happen to have some information that could be beneficial, I would really appreciate it. Send me an email if you want to stay anonymous. I will respect that. Well, we've come to the end of the program. I want to say real quick, if you appreciate these messages, they only exist by the support of individuals like you. Our address is Watchman's Cry, P.O. Box 157, Priest River, Idaho, 83856. Or you can go to our website and contact us there. Folks, share this message with all of your loved ones. Let's get the message of warning out and continue your vigilance, my friends. Continue seeking God. Continue your journey with God. My friends, I love you. God bless you. Stay safe, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.